Shalom, my dear brethren. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank the Lord for all things. By God's grace, we shall continue today with the second part of the series. Yesterday, by God's grace, we meditated on the words of life from the book of Psalm, chapter 119 and chapter 13. And we learned from the scripture that the Lord called us to remember what we have said to Him when we accepted Him as our Savior, and keeping His commandments, doing His commandments, obeying His word is the way of our life. And the book of Psalm reminded us in chapter 119 that I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Verse 59 beautifully speaks to our heart that I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Moving away from myself to be part of himself is our journey. And in this journey, there are times that we get frozen because of our lack of understanding and because of our own desires, and we tend to find some justification from the scripture saying that I can continue to be this way because the Lord has spoken to me through the word of the Lord. We have to be very careful, my dear brethren. The word of the Lord is a double-edged sword, and the Lord is the one who calleth, and the Lord is the one who justifieth. If we start using the scripture to justify our life and justify our action, the word of the Lord wants all of us to fall into the hands of the Lord for Him, as He is our potter, for Him, as He is our gardener. He knows what to do good in our life. And He reminded us that we are called to make haste and not to delay in keeping His commandments. And not just that, He reminded us that we are the companions of all of them that fear Him. And we are the companions who arm shoulder, who share the burden, who hold the hands as we walk together, never give up on one another, because we are called to be the companions of His children, of His congregation, all of them that keep His commandments. And in that beautiful chapter, verse 65, it says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. I want all of us to focus on this verse today. Do you all believe that the Lord has dealt with you well according to His word? We sing the song, It is well with my soul, but do we really mean the words of that song? Do we really say, utter those words from the bottom of our heart? Because when the scripture says, Thou hast dealt with me, Lord, according to your word, O Lord, dealt well, the best possible way the Lord can do things in your life, He is doing it. Because Psalm chapter 13, verse 6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. And He called all of us, my grace is sufficient for all of you. He told us, He promised us. He dealt with us bountifully. He is dealing with us in the same way because He is the great provider. But in this journey of life, misunderstanding introduces the sin of judgment in our heart, which we will focus today by God's grace. Because if we truly believe the Lord is the ruler, He has the dominion over my life, because the scripture says the Lord is holy and righteous in all His ways, in all His works. Amen. In all our life, He is holy, He is righteous. So if we surrender unto the Lord that He has dealt with me bountifully, then why we are holding on to the memories of the past? Then why we are holding on to the offense that you received from some incident or some event or some man or some woman? Why you could not let it go? If you truly believe the scripture, The Lord has dealt with me bountifully. The Lord is having complete control over my life. If you truly believe that, then why we are still holding on to that? So that brings us to the second topic of today's series, which is, how long will you hold? How long will you hold? Now, the book of Psalms says, I have turned my feet unto thy testimonies. What testimonies, my brethren? Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. The souls that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. The word of God and the testimony which they held. So what does it mean? We believe in the word of God and we receive the revelation of the truth, and not just that, when we do it, we receive the testimony which we are all holding in our hand, the testimony which they held. Don't forget, when the lame was healed, the scripture records that beautiful event that the lame that was healed, he held Peter and John, because the testimony of Jesus Christ was given to him through the fellowship of those two apostles who agreed together in oneness, and they healed him. So he held the church, he held the fellowship, he held the togetherness, he held the oneness of Christ in his family of God that he witnessed in his life, and he held Peter. He did not let them go. Because of his testimony, those enemies who surrounded the two servants of God, they could not lay their hands upon them. The book of Revelation says, those who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, they were holding that lamp, they were holding that torch, they were holding the testimony until the Lord called them home. And verse 10, they said, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? This is the burden I received in my heart today, that believers, the seeds of the Lord to whom he revealed himself, there is a deep deception going on in all the corners of this earth. To hold on to judgment deep inside your heart without expressing it explicitly, but thinking the Lord will grant you victory by bringing someone down. By thinking the Lord will show you that he is with you by destroying something or someone who caused some offense to you. The word of God cannot be mocked, my dear brethren. What the Lord wants to convey, the essence of it, is a revelation from the Spirit of God. We cannot understand the scripture in a way that our flesh feels satisfied. That is extremely dangerous. Because here, the words that we read in chapter 6, verse 10, it might be misunderstood if you are a bit careless and remain in the flesh. Because we are reading about those who gave their life as saints, martyrs of Christ. And when they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth? It may sound like they are calling, they are crying for revenge, vengeance, violence, but it is not. Verse 11 says, and white robes were given unto every one of them. It was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. White robes were given to them because of the righteous deeds that they have done, the testimony that they held when they were alive in the flesh, And it was said unto them, they should rest yet for a little season, rest for a season, until their fellow servants, they joined them. Also their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. This book of Revelation that talks about a different season. But let's bring this to our life that as we speak right now, where we are still breathing, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Praise the Lord. When the Lord reveals something to you, and when the Lord is not revealing that something to someone, and when you think that you are offended, you are hurt by someone, if you believe in your heart, the Lord will exalt you by insulting that person. The Lord will exalt you by proving the other person is wrong. The Lord will exalt you to make them fail in front of your eyes. And for you to feel the Lord is with you, my precious dear brethren, we have to be very careful of our very own self, because you are your biggest threat. Let's go to the rock of our salvation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's learn from the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 12. Book of Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 21. Chapter 12, verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, not some vision, my dear brethren, every vision, the days are at hand, and the effect of our every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. The Lord is very concerned about vain vision, vain interpretation, vain dreams, vain way of telling. The Lord said this, the Lord had spoken, the Lord revealed this. Vain flattering of divination to divide the congregation, to divide the fellowship, to divide the hearts of people within the house of Israel. And the Lord says, for I am the Lord, I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Verse 25. It shall be no more prolonged. So what the Lord says, whenever the Lord speaks the words of life, it has a time stamp of grace attached to it, which will be the time and the season of fulfillment, manifestation. He says, my words are not prolonged. It shall be fulfilled as it is at the appointed time of life, known only to him. And the Lord says, it shall be no more prolonged, as we all think, how long, Lord, how long? Are you delaying, Lord? But the Lord says, it shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And the Lord says that we all have this battle of righteousness in our life going on by God's grace, and we are overcoming our flesh. We are overcoming the carnal desires. We are overcoming the influence of things around us and the surrounding that is trying to bring us down by embracing the thoughts of disobedience, rebellion, lack of understanding, using the word of God for our own glory. And the Lord is warning all of us from the prophetical book. In verse 26, as we continue, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. When that complacency kicks in, when that lack of awareness that kicks in, we tend to lose the focus on the author of our salvation, who is able to begin, who is able to end. And he says, verse 28, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. So the Lord has given us the promise that whatever he has spoken, it shall be done as it is at the appointed time of life. He is the true life. He knows when to do good, what to do good, how to do good, and where to do good. He knows all things. And we completely surrender unto Him, holding on to good thoughts. Not holding on to the desire for victory for our own self, but holding on to good thoughts. Because, my dear brethren, we are not here to tell the world, the Lord is with me, for that reason I will not be put to shame. No. We are here to show the world, the Lord is with me, the Lord is in me. No matter how many stones are thrown at me, no matter how many battles that may come against me tomorrow, I shall hold the faith. I shall hold on to the mighty, unchanging hand. I shall hold the statutes, the commandments of the Lord, and my feet shall shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. And when we do all of this, we cannot lose the desire of goodness for our precious dear brethren in our life. Those who are with us, those who live with us, those who worship the true God in our sanctuary. We are here to keep thinking goodness for them, to keep doing good things for them, because God is in the midst of His children. Why it is so important? The book of Revelation is focusing on the cry of the testimony of those who are slain for the word of God and the testimony of God. And let's bring it back to the book of Psalm chapter 94. And let's see what David the king was crying unto the Lord in the days of his life on earth when he was a king to the land of Israel. And we are reading to the cry of people who were slain for the word of God. They were crying to the son of David, the root and offspring of David, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And let's go to the book of Psalm, chapter 94, and let's look at what David says. Verse 1, chapter 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, shew thyself. Lift up thyself. Thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see. Neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? For the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. For the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And the Lord is teaching us, as a king, David is asking the Lord to protect the realm, to protect the city, to protect the people from all the enemies, all the wickedness that are coming against the city. And he is holding on to the shield of the Lord, and he is asking the Lord to protect him. By that prayer, you could see the king is pleading for the salvation of the people inside the city. But if we misunderstand this word, that the Lord will come and defend me by proving my dear brother he is wrong, by proving my dear sister he is wrong, they did this, they did that, and the Lord will prove them that they are wrong, we might commit the sin of judgment of our fellow servants of God, the builders of the wall. We are one body of Christ, my precious dear brethren. Psalm 94, Revelation 6. May the Lord speak to all our hearts. It might sound as if people are crying for judgment. The king is crying for judgment in Psalm 94, and the testimonies of the Lord are crying for judgment in Revelation 6. But what is the deeper outcome of that process? Let's go to book of Isaiah chapter 41. Book of Isaiah chapter 41. Let's look at the Lord who is light, who is love, and who always think about life for all of us, all his children. Let's look at book of Isaiah and read from chapter 41, verse 8 to 20. Book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Praise the Lord. Chapter 41, book of Isaiah. So now let's read it from the bottom of our heart, how the Lord is looking at his children and how he wants all of us to dwell in unity and not to have the desire of proving ourselves by proving someone wrong. Because when a brother fail, we fail hard. When a sister fail, we fail hard. Because we win together as one, or we lose together as one. Because it's a journey of one body of Christ, one bride, unity of faith, unity of spirit, the oneness of God. That oneness is the beauty of God's children. Amen. Let's read this, how the Lord is compassionate about his seeds. Chapter 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The only thing that we are called to hold is his unchanging hand, mighty hand. We are not called to hold any memories of the past, any offense that came into your life, any hurt or any pain that will bring you down and make you not able to praise him, worship him with all your strength, all your might, but rather we will be in a state of here a little, there a little, one leg outside, one leg inside. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? It's a question to all of us every single day. If not, it's a process for all of us to fall into the pruning and fall into the hands of the potter for us to mold, for him to mold us. Verse 11 says, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Verse 11 is in between the book of Revelation 6 and Psalm 94. So may the Lord help us as we bring these beautiful words of life for us to conform to the image of God, to learn where we have to correct ourselves, to deny ourselves, for the Spirit of God to examine our hearts, the deep intention of our hearts. Verse 11 could be misunderstood if we are hurt by someone or something or some incident. Our flesh will try to make you feel the Lord will see you through, the Lord will hold you, the Lord will prove that you are right, you are not wrong. That is not the essence of verse 11. In verse 11, I want all of first to think about our very own flesh, our very own evil thoughts, our very own wicked ways, our very own challenges, the dark thoughts of our flesh that tries to make you to lose the garment of salvation, the lamp of light. And let's think from that perspective. Verse 11, behold, all they that were incensed against thee, your beastly nature, your fleshful thoughts, shall be ashamed when you embrace the shame to hold on to the testimony of Christ. You shall be hated for my name's sake, the Lord said, and we are called to bear his reproach outside the city, outside the camp, until the end. We must endure. And when we do that, all the prideful nature of our life, all the thoughts of wickedness will be ashamed, will be confounded. They shall be as nothing, as if it doesn't exist. Anything against God's light, anything against God's life will not exist. It's vanity. And they that strive with thee shall perish. So this battle of righteousness, all unrighteousness will perish. Now if you think about what David said, he was protecting the seeds inside the city of Israel. Book of Revelation 6, Those seeds who were slain for the word of God, for the testimony that they kept, they were crying to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of David, the root and offspring of David, for him to come and judge the earth, to bring peace, to bring peace, to bring life. For there will be no death, no sorrow, no weeping. They were praying for the goodness of God to come according to his appointed time of life, because they waited all their lives. They hold on to peace and they were killed. They were not impatient, my dear brethren. They were not seeking for vengeance. They said, vengeance belongeth to thee. So the Lord is against the peace of flesh. And the Lord is against everything that comes against the peace of God that is in the God's children. So verse 12 says, thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall as be nothing and as a thing of naught. If we are careless, we might use these words in a wrong time, in a wrong context in our life, thinking that I had this dream and people didn't believe me. Now the Lord is going to prove that I am with the Lord and the Lord is with me. And the Lord will come and prove me I am right and he is wrong, she is wrong. I had this interpretation, I had this message from the Lord, and people think that I am wrong and the Lord is going to come and prove I am right. They are wrong. The Lord will not take pleasure in dividing his very own household. That is not the Lord whom we serve. Why? Let's continue to read book of Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 13 says, for I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. By how? We are called to hold on to his hand, not to hold on to anything else. And verse 14 says, fear not, thou womb Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. How? Verse 15, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thrash the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Praise the Lord. From verse 17 to 20 is where the compassion of the Lord Almighty, whom you serve, is revealed in excellence way. Verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. That's the God whom we serve. We can never hold on to strive against one another, my dear brethren. We can never let our flesh to wait to see the fall of someone. We can never let our life to desire to see the failure of someone in our life, just for us to feel that we are convinced, we are vindicated. No, that is not the Spirit of God. Let's be very careful. Verse 18, I will open rivers in high places and the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. The Lord says together, different types of plants together, different types of people together, but holding on to one spirit, one unity of faith, one goal to serve him, to live a life according to his will and pleasure. And verse 20 finishes so beautifully, that they may see. You see? The reason of all that we are going through, that they may see and know and consider and understand together. The true understanding, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And the knowledge of holy is understanding. And how he gives to all of us? By letting us fellowship together. By letting us to understand one another. By letting us to move together, fall together, rise together, walk together, run together. Together. And that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That they may see is the reason we are together. That they may see is the reason that we are going through all this journey together, to express the love of God to one another, not to hold on to grudges, not to hold on to hurt, not to hold on to offense. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we meditate on the words of life. Let's drop the garments that are defiled. Let's not hold on to this anymore. Let's leave it, my brethren. Let's hold on to the unchanging of the Lord Almighty. The Lord will bless us. God bless you all. Shalom. We shall meet again tomorrow. Amen.